It's a privilege to be here. In English, we say, praise the Lord. In Swahili, you say, Bwana Asifiwe. And in Rwanda, they say, Yesu Shimwe. I'd like to talk a little bit about my work in Africa, or actually Zion's work in Africa. There's a lot of Africa that we actually cover, and some of it, you may not even realize that Zion has works there. And that's a blessing. If we could have the map here, for the past 6 years, I was in Malawi when Blantyre there, my hand is not steady, just above Mozambique, it's like surrounded by Mozambique there, with my parents helping in their Bible school there. Last year in October, I moved up to Mbeya, Tanzania, which is just about 2 hours north of the Malawi border and about 2 hours from the Zambia border. From there, I'm assisting Ben and Audrey Viola in their work in Tanzania. And I think Pastor Justin Stewart mentioned the work in Zimbabwe, which I will be visiting probably 2 weeks at a time twice next year to teach in the Bible schools there. And there's a lot going on there. Now, what I think a lot of people maybe haven't heard a lot about is the work that Zion has, the ZMI schools that are actually in place under Cornerstone in East Africa. And those I've been visiting for the last 6 years, I believe. The first one's in Uganda, and they have a diploma-level school there that I teach at. But there are also 20 other certificate-level schools that have been founded in other parts of the country that I have not actually, I've only visited one of those for a graduation ceremony. So they're scattered throughout the country. And even more than that, graduates of the schools that are not directly affiliated with Zion have started a lot of schools in their own churches. So our impact is actually much larger even than 20 schools. The director of the work there, Henry Mukisa, honestly told me he doesn't know how many. He says, he tells them, you know, they tell him, he trains them, and then they want to start a school. And he says, that's fine. You know, go ahead, teach me like I taught you, but I can't help you with it. I'm too busy. And he really is, because he not only oversees the main one in Uganda, as well as going to many of those 20 other ones, but he also was at one time staying in Kigali, just below. This thing has just died on me. Just below, you have the country of Rwanda, and there's a Bible school there in Kigali, which he helped found. And then 2 years ago, so for 5 years, I'd been going to those two, and then I think it was 2 years ago, a new school opened up in Burundi, which is now added to the list. So for the last 2 years, I've been going to Uganda, Rwanda, and Burundi, teaching in the Bible schools there. And there really is a lot. There are a lot of students. There's a lot of hunger. The churches are growing. And not only that, we have possibilities of openings in South Sudan from there. Pastor Henry Mukisa would like to open up a Bible school in South Sudan. He has. Now, unfortunately, this map is pre-South Sudan split. But Juba there is the capital of South Sudan now. So if you take, it's really probably about the southern third of Sudan. It's not really the southern half, would be what is now called southern Sudan. And there was a possibility. There were several pastors interested. Pastor Aloysius Ntegi actually went up to meet with them and had met with them. And then the civil war broke out in South Sudan, which postponed things but did not stop things. Currently, as I've last heard, there, Pastor Mukisa was still hoping to go up there to meet with some people. The situation currently is that the government of Uganda is backing the current government of South Sudan. So in government-held areas, a Ugandan doesn't have a trouble getting in there. That could change, of course, if the rebels win the civil war, right? But that's the current situation there. Also, there is a possibility for a Bible school in the DRC, I'm not sure exactly how much. There are contacts there. Pastor Henry would like to meet with them. I'm not sure exactly how far along he is on that. But there's definitely the possibility in a few years. So if you'd like to pray for new openings, those would be two very good areas where we could reach. And especially in, perhaps in the next couple of years, we could see something going. How big, I don't know, but a start of something. A little bit more about these countries. Uganda is the world's second largest producer of bananas. A little bit of trivia that one of my pastor friends there told me. Apparently, India produces more, but the Uganda not being very big, but that is the staple. They actually eat plantains, a lot of plantains, and wherever you go in Uganda, you will see banana plantations. Rwanda, in the middle, there's the three countries. Okay, Uganda is right there in between Sudan, Democratic Republic of Congo, and Kenya. And then just below that, you may not even be able to really see it on the map because it's not big, is Rwanda. It only takes you about 2 hours any direction from Kigali, which is just about in the center, to leave the country. So it's very, very circular in shape and very small. Rwanda is probably the cleanest country in Africa. They ban plastic bags. And so if you come in there with a plastic bag, they confiscate it at the border, and you can buy paper bags to put your things in. It's called the Country of 1,000 Hills, and I think the bus goes around every single one of them when you go through it on the way to Burundi. And if you're already not feeling well, that's not a good thing. But the hills are very beautiful and green. And then Burundi is almost heart-shaped. Kind of interestingly. And it borders the top of Lake Tanganyika, and you can actually see the DRC across the lake. It's not very far at all. It's less than 40 kilometers to the border of DRC. Of course, different parts of DRC are under varying amounts of government or rebel control, right? It's a very different country because some areas could be relatively safe. Some areas are virtually war zones and have been for the last 50 years. So, but still, it might be possible in some areas of the country to actually have a Bible school. And I've been going there quite once a year for a week each country. And they've asked me recently if I go to go for 2 weeks in each country. So that is the plan for next year. And there's a lot of need, a lot of desire for the word. And as well as Tanzania, I didn't really spend as much time with that because I think my brother-in-law was here last convention and he spoke more about Tanzania, but we have a lot of contacts in Tanzania for seminars, other Bible schools. We're still working on getting books translated into Swahili. There is one good contact we have, a denomination with 5 Bible schools in Tanzania that Ben and I have both been teaching at. So a week in each place. And that will continue, hopefully, in the next year when I get back and we'll start planning my schedule when I get back in Tanzania, the schedule for next year, which currently is looking like about 5 months of traveling when you add it all up together between Zimbabwe and Malawi, the Bible schools there, and then Tanzania, and then the 6 weeks would be in the rest of East Africa. So you could say I'm a true Azungu. What Pastor Justin Stewart said is true. That's what they use for white man. But what the word Azungu really means in Bantu languages is to go around. And so when they saw a white man, that, you know, this is a man who wanders around. That's And so I am a very true Azungu. Just a few little things about some of the things that can happen when you're traveling in Africa. There are some interesting things you see on the bus. The one time I was heading back to Malawi on the night bus, which is an experience in itself. But this bus basically leaves Mzuzu, which is in northern Malawi, right about there, and travels down to Blantyre, which takes about 12 hours. And it does that at night. So you leave about 7 at the night and you get about there about 7 in the morning. Or sometimes they leave at 5 in the afternoon and get there about 5 in the morning. This one left at 7 at night and we were somewhere in the north of the country at around 1 a.m. when someone got on the bus and they had this package with them, which they stuck on the luggage rack up top there, you know, above the seats. The funny thing about this was this package was a cardboard box, small cardboard box, with yellow tape wrapped around it, which said biohazard on it. So, and it wasn't specifically secure up there either. Now, the thing is, because this was Africa, I was not sure. Did this man just borrow this tape from his work to wrap? I mean, those of you who've been in Africa, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? All sorts of tape gets repurposed all the time. So it could have been that, or it could have been something that really I wouldn't want to know about. But either way, you know, God protects you, right? Nothing happened, and it's been a couple of years now, so if it was anything serious, I think we know about it by now. You know, my sister does say she doesn't want to travel with me. There's a few reasons for that. One of them the first time I went up to Tanzania to visit them, this was on my way to East Africa, I took the night bus again. And it was a little bit early getting out of the station, so I thought it actually left 15 minutes early, which you're not doing bad at that point. But before it left the actual city limits of Blantyre, it broke down. And then they came out and after 2 hours decided, well, it wasn't really that serious, so we were on the road again without doing anything really to it. I think it was something to do with the transmission gearing, so I don't think they could hit top gear or something. But and then at about 3 a.m, we're traveling by the lake shore, so you're very close to Lake Malawi. The road is elevated, and there's a marsh on either side. And I was almost asleep when all of a sudden the bus decelerated very quickly, and there was a loud thud, and I knew we'd hit something. There was just something that this was more than just braking. And so there was a lot of people speaking in Chichewa, which I can understand some, but I thought we must have hit a person because there are some villages out there. It's in, you know, at nighttime, it's easy to hit someone. But I realized after a while that understanding Chichewa, they were saying we'd hit an animal, but I couldn't figure out what type of animal because I didn't know the word for it. After a while, I eventually asked someone who spoke English and they told me it was a hippo. Which makes sense because they forage at night and they're very near and they like marshy area. So that was it. And that's why my sister thinks I'm unlucky. I'm probably the only missionary in all of our acquaintance who's ever been on a bus that has hit a hippo. in maybe 30 years of experience or whatever, most people, this doesn't happen that often. I would assume, I don't know your actual rates of accidents, but I assume it's the hippo wins most of the time. So we had to get out of our bus, and thankfully we're on the road again in a very short time. Within 2 hours, they had another bus there. So, you know, some things in Africa work very well because we were pretty far from what I would have thought was the nearest bus. And the radiator was totally destroyed on that bus, so you knew it had hit a hippo. But we continued, and then I was heading up to Tanzania, and this is something to remember when you're praying, not just for safe travels, but also for timely travels, because the border between Tanzania and Malawi closes at 6 o'clock. So the delay means that you're rushing the whole way, trying to get on the bus, hoping that you get there before the border closes. Well, as it happened, I was just about to the border, and I was about 15 minutes from the border, and my sister called me because she was waiting for me on the other side. And, you know, she said, "Do you think you're going to make it?" And I'm like, I'm near the border now. I don't know exactly how far it is, but I'm on the last taxi, the last 45-minute ride to the border now. So should be okay. Anyway, while I was talking to her, my cell phone died because the battery was going out. So I arrived at the border at 6:15. And you know, most border towns in Africa are not the places you want to spend the night. So I was kind of looking around, and then I saw, okay, there's this place selling Coke and they've got a light bulb on. So I wonder how much they'll charge me for charging my cell phone. At least I can get in contact with my sister again. So I did that, charged it for a few minutes, and then got a hold of Ben, who had seen the immigration people locking up, and it said his brother-in-law was still on the other side of the border. So they said, that's okay, we'll help him out. There, it took a little bit of back and forth once I called him to get this all sorted out, but they basically sent him across the border with someone. He met me. I found the Malawian side, which was still technically open, although the officer was sitting in his car, not at the desk. Got my passport stamped, crossed the border, and Tanzanian immigration opened up for me. So, you know, that was a blessing, because just before that I was looking like, well, maybe I can stand guard over my luggage for 12 hours until the border opens at 7 in the morning. So, you know, God is really good. There's a lot of different things that can happen. But one of the things that I enjoy about this is, even with all the difficulties, you know, I was actually heading up to visit Ben and Audrey, but also to continue to go on to East Africa to teach Life of Christ. And one of the things that's good to remember about the life of Christ is, you know, Jesus didn't stay in heaven. He didn't stay where everything is perfect. He came down. He went through everything for us. And, you know, to teach of his life, to be part of something he's doing, it's worth whatever trip you have to make. And even wherever you are, I hope you don't have any long trips, any difficult trips. But I hope you remember that. You know, Jesus gave up everything for us, and it's a privilege to give up things for him. Amen. God bless you.